You're listening to Breakaway Wealth, the show designed to help you build wealth faster, think bigger, and break out of the herd. Now, here's your host, Jim Oliver.
Welcome back, Breakaway Wealth. I'm your host, Jim Oliver, and with me today, my guest, Chris Larson. Welcome, Chris.
Jim, great to see you today.
Great to see you, and I'm excited to talk about our subject today because, you know, right now I feel like, Chris, I hear a lot of excuses out there. I hear about interest rates, and I hear about all this stuff going on, and I think there are two types of people, people that make excuses and people that don't, people that get shit
That's right.
done. So let's talk about how to get stuff done, but before we do that, introduce yourself to the audience, Chris.
Yeah, so Jim, love Breakaway Wealth, by the way. Race bicycles on and off for multiple decades, starting at age 14, which was over three decades away now. But yeah, I actually, you know, Next Level Income, we focus on real estate syndications. And, you know, I bought my first property after I quit racing at the age of 21, bought my first property. But I went to college. I went to Virginia Tech to get an engineering degree. And I just wanted to get done with school, go race my bike, and then I figured I would figure out what I wanted to do. But in between my freshman and my sophomore year of college, my best friend, my roommate, my training partner, Chris, his name was also Chris, he passed away. Had a massive brain hemorrhage, died instantly. And I went back to school, raced another year, Jim, and put my heart and soul into it. It was really my therapy in a lot of ways. But I realized that there was more to life than just riding my bike around in a circle. And I mean, this is from somebody that was spending 10, 20, sometimes 30 hours a week training. And that doesn't even count the stretching, the extra sleep, the, you know, all the other stuff. So I really came back to school and had to reinvent my life. But I knew one thing. I wanted to have freedom to live life on my own terms. I wanted to live the life that I was given, but I also wanted to live a life that honored the one that Chris didn't have anymore. And look, the fact of the matter is, and you know, you just started off with a great, I think, a great statement, which is, you know, we can make excuses or we can take action and make things happen and live the life that we want. And the fact of the matter is, you need money in the world we live in today to be able to do that. So I set off to achieve financial independence. I read over 250 books over the course of the next few years. I actually got an MBA in portfolio management, almost got a PhD in finance. But I decided that real estate was going to be my path towards financial independence. Bought that first property, continued to buy properties. I went to work in the medical device field for 18 years and had a successful, by most measures, lucrative career. But I always had that backup plan, which was I built passive income streams that eventually met and then vastly exceeded the amount that we needed. And that allowed me to walk away from that career and now, you know, not only spend time with my family and doing things like I'm going to ride my bike in beautiful 76 degree weather here in Asheville in a couple hours after our podcast ends, but also get to share what I've learned over the past, you know, couple decades, you know, with people that we work with as well.
Man, I love that. You said a lot there, so I'm going to unpack a couple of things. So it's really funny, Chris, because I love, so I assume you're going to go ride your road bike, but in Asheville, it could be your mountain bike too, right?
I'll be out in the mountains with my older son today. Yeah.
Nice. Well, you know, I live in Florida. So, you know, they tell me there's some, and I used to live in Colorado. So they tell me there's some mountain biking here, but I really don't believe it. No, I mean, there's some nice mountain bikes, I can tell you, because I've got a great bike shop. But I'm like not built like a biker, right? I'm like six. I played football at 245. I'm like 6 foot tall, 230. But I've got a great Pinarello bike. And I've actually got two road bikes, both of them. You know, I like nice things, Chris. That's all I can say. You know, I'm not even going to tell the audience. The audience won't. You know how much those bikes are.
I know. Shit. Yeah.
Let's not share that.
I can
people's car. You know, like
I can tell you that the last bike I bought was in the realm of the price I paid for my first Honda Accord. So it's fun. It's a hobby. It's a toy. It's a machine. And it's a sport, right? It's amazing. Yeah.
I always like when the guy says, okay, this bike, you know, built out, it's going to be this weight. And I go, dude, I could lose 10 pounds so easily. You know, it would be like, you could sell that to the guy who has no body fat. He can't lose any weight. So, I mean, he's got to buy a lighter bike to go faster. But my bike shop down here, the guys used to be on the national team for Columbia.
And oh, wow. Yeah.
He is so, Oh, man, I'll tell you what, this guy has forgotten more about cycling than I'll ever know. And he's just the best. We almost lost him. This is, and again, this is not political, but in July of 20, he got COVID. They put him on a ventilator, almost killed him, took him off the ventilator. Finally, he said, no, I'm not going back on the ventilator. This guy rides his bike, I don't know if it's 150 miles a week, but somewhere in that range, right? This guy is in shape. There's nothing wrong with this guy's lungs, anything else.
Yeah.
They tell him that it's because he lives too close to the ocean and there's some kind of fungus in his lungs or something. No, they almost killed him with the treatment.
Yeah.
That's my only political thing. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. Don't worry.
God bless him. And
yeah,
I'm glad he's still with us.
Yeah, me too. And, down here, Chris, we have old people that, they fall asleep at stoplights. So in season, you better be out on your bike before they're up, before they're around, because they will take you out. And they kill people in Florida left and right. I mean, it's scary, but I'm sure you do too. But I've got the brightest lights on the front, the brightest lights on the back. If you can't see me, you're not going to see anything. So I see guys riding, and I know you do too, like at 6 o'clock in the morning and it's dark. And I'm like, dude, get a better light. Like that.
Yeah. You can get, it's like car lights now. The group I used to train with in the mornings at 5:30.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like you were rolling down the road, man. It was like you had a God's flashlight behind you. There's so many people had all these lumens.
And I love that. So, there are some cool places and everything's flat down here. That's the only thing, but you
come up here and ride, Jim. Come to training camp up in Asheville with me.
I like it. I'm all right, Chris. I also lost a friend that felt like a brother when I was 15. So I understand that too. And I understand the impact that has on your life and how it drives you. And what I love is, you said a couple of things. You said engineering. So, normally a lot of times that engineering logical, I got to see every number to know what, that sometimes prevents people from breaking away or getting out of the herd. I think it's great that it didn't, but you obviously have something special in that personality because you were also in medical sales. So an engineer that can sell, because then you got all the numbers, right? So you can back up everything that you're saying with the numbers because that's how your brain works, right? So tell me about what you found in your approach to syndication and kind of, what you've seen in the past and what you see coming in the future. Yep. And, look, the thing that I always say to people is you cannot judge your opportunity on today. One thing you can be assured of is whatever interest rates are today, whatever the prices are today, whatever the market is today, it's going to change.
That's right.
So you've got to be able to, roll with those changes and you got to know what to do. So talk a little bit about that. I know I threw a lot in there.
Yeah, no. And I was trying to kind of follow there, but yeah, you said I'm an engineer that can sell. Maybe I'm a sales guy that got an engineering degree.
I always
joke that my advisor in college pulled me aside. He goes, listen, Chris, you're not smart enough to be an engineer. You got to figure out something else. You got too much personality and not enough intelligence. So no, I really like the application, Jim. Yeah. One of the things I liked about cycling, and I didn't have the most talent in the world, but I'm disciplined. And I'm good at putting a plan together to achieve a result. So if you kind of look at my personality and some of these different tests, one of the ones that stands out, the Colby test, my specific profile is a strategic planner. But whether it's the engineer in me or the engineer that was taught into me, but I'm able to process that information, but I still see it at a pretty high level. So I like to put information together at a high level, assimilate the information, and then develop a plan to actually achieve something. And, you mentioned something, a lot of people can have this analysis by paralysis. So, it doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how much information you have. If you can't figure out a way to get from A to B, then it really is irrelevant. If you're a cyclist and, like you said, you buy the best bike, but you don't train, you don't eat, you're not in good shape. It doesn't matter if your bike's 12 pounds. Bike can be 20 pounds and you're still going to beat the guy if you have the training and the ability to assimilate all that information. So I think that's important. And that's what I saw when I read all these books and I invested in the stock market and I day traded and I looked at real estate. What I like about real estate is there's things that you can predict You can look at the real estate cycles past up to the present and have some sort of predictability with respect to the way those cycles move. And then you also have some control. We can control the price of what we buy a piece of real estate. We can control the income in a commercial piece of real estate, which helps us to control the value. And we can also buy real estate and actually improve the value by improving the piece of property or the investment itself. And all those things mean that we have a greater chance of success. And then when you really drill down to it and say, well, what does that mean when it comes to returns? One of the things, and I talk about this in my book, which I'm happy to share with you if you're listening today, we'll even send you a copy if you'd like. But if you look at the stock market, there's a lot of volatility, right? So people say, oh, the average return on the stock market is 10% of the year. Well, you don't get the average return of the stock market. You get the geometric mean of the stock market. So what that means is if the stock market goes up 100% year one and you invested $100, now you have $200. If it goes down 50%, it went from 100 to 200. Now it's back to 100, right? So you've earned zero over the course of 2 years, assuming you didn't get any distributions or dividends out of it. What was the average return? The average return was 100, 100 plus 100 minus 50, which is now 50 divided by 2 years. The average return of the stock market over those 2 years was 25%, but the geometric average was zero. And what that illustrates is what we call variance drag in the finance world. And variance drag is what happens when you have that volatility, that variance, and it erodes or creates a drag on returns. And that's one thing I really like about, specifically, I talk about multifamily in my book, but commercial real estate, you don't have those huge fluctuations. So you can have more predictable returns. And that ultimately leads to higher overall returns and more wealth over the course of your investing career, your lifetime.
You know, Chris, I was shaking my head and smiling because this is what I tell people every day is there's a big difference between average rate of return and actual rate of return. And well, you're exactly right. I just try to keep it simple because, you know,
I like your way better. Yeah.
Well, no, that's me not being an engineer. I like the way you do it because you're explaining the details. I just make it simple. But what's funny is I went to school. I got out of school. I became a money babysitter. I mean, financial planner. And I was fee-based, full service. Yeah. And 15 years in, I had $700 million under management. I was charging 1%, right? This is back in the day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was doing pretty well. I mean, I had a lot of staff and stuff, but in a really expensive office. But, you know, I got some report from, I think it was Brinker Capital, and it said, your average rate of return for this period of time is 9.38%. I said, well, wait a minute. I got money in that. It didn't go up 9.38%.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, using the rule 72, like, there's no way. So I go back and I look at the fees and expenses and taxes, and it was 4%, just a little bit over 4%. And I said, wait a minute. I'm sitting down with these people. I make some guesses. They make some guesses. We hope together, but it doesn't work at 4%. Right. I mean, we're showing 9, 10, 12.
Yeah.
You know, Dave Ramsey's 12. Yeah. You know, like we used to tell people in the early 90s, hey, I can only show you 12%, but this thing is going to do way more than that every year. Look, it did 17% last year. I mean, anything could have done 17% at that time in the market. Right. But my point is that it doesn't work at 4%. And so
it does not. Yeah. My life insurance pays more than that. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, what's funny is if you use the insurance company's money to go invest in real estate, and then you flow that money back into your insurance policy and you reduce your interest cost till you're ready to do it again and do it again and do it again. And like in year 10 of an insurance policy, somewhere around there, the way that we design the policies is you put in $1.50 to go put in real estate.
That's right.
Well, guess what?
That's awesome. Absolutely. Love it.
You write me a check for $1. I turn around and write you one for $1.50. That's the ratio. How big do you want that first check to be?
Yeah.
As big as you'll let me write. Yeah. Right. I mean, so,
absolutely.
So one of the things when I show people infinite banking, I love people that are doing real estate investing, whether it's passive or active. I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but it really, in the long term plan, it doesn't matter. Okay. Yeah. Because it matters what fits into your life. If you're running your electronics business and you're making seven figures and you're like, Jim, I'm not going to learn about real estate. I'm a big who, not how guy. I want you to go find the guy that fits. When I say guy, I mean man or woman that fits with your personality. So if I'm an engineer, I'm going to talk to Chris because I know Chris is going to feed my brain with this stuff that I need. But I don't want to go learn what you, in fact, even me, I don't want to go learn what you know. I'd rather just work with you and do it that way. Who Not How, that's Dan Sullivan's coach. I mean,
awesome book. Benjamin Hardy. Book of the year 2 years ago. It's so good.
Yeah. A great book. And by the way, the one that they just came out with, 10X is easier than 2X, is phenomenal. I mean,
I haven't read that. I know, Ben's fantastic. So,
and Ben is too. I'll tell you, I was a little jealous, you know, like, what was the first book they came out with? No, I can't remember, but
I know. Like, yeah, I forget too, but yeah, Who Not How was the second one, right?
That was the second one. Yeah. The first one. I was like, Nick, I'm always saying this. I mean, I didn't know I could have gone to Dan Sullivan and, you know, like brought this concept and said, hey, let's write a book. Yeah. Then I looked at Benjamin Hardy's credentials and I said, oh, yeah, I couldn't do that. I mean, Benjamin Hardy can do that. He's got the credentials to back it up. Yeah. And that's going to get Dan. I'm just one of the guys that learned all the stuff in the 90s and never went back to strategic coach. And all my friends go, oh, you got to come back. You got to come back. I don't like to go to Chicago in the middle of winter. And I don't like one day meetings going anywhere. So, sorry.
That's all good, man. I did it too. I understand.
And so anyway, it's good stuff. And I would go if Dan was doing it, but I don't like winter. So I live in Florida for a reason. And you live in Asheville for a reason. It doesn't get that cold, I know, in Asheville. Yeah. All right. So we talked about breaking away. I like how you relate it to cycling because, like, to me, if I go on a 2 hour bike ride or whatever it is, doesn't matter. When I come back, I've worked out whatever things I had on my mind. Yeah, I've got them worked out.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a moving meditation for me. It's so
good.
I mean, there's guys that fly by me and like I'm standing still and I've done the Ragbri in Iowa. And if you haven't done that, Chris,
I haven't done it. I hear great things. Yeah.
It's so much fun. But when you work through those problems and I talk about that process of how you know, looking at real estate right now and people say interest rates are too high and this, they've never heard of subject to or anything like that. And I'm not saying that everybody needs to do that, but there's a lot of opportunity out there. But talk about the process of solving the problem. Okay. Yes. Interest rates are higher. So what does that mean? What markets are better? You know, is it medical, commercial? Is it, you know, is it still multifamily? We had a client that in 5 years went from less than $1 million of multifamily to almost $500 million. And I never heard him complain about interest rates.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, I think, you know, when you look at it, you say, okay, let's go big to small. So you say, all right, real estate is my vehicle. Okay. Yep. And you say, well, I'm going to do commercial real estate. Then the next thing I look at is demographics. I'm a big demographics guy. I say, all right, I want, you know, the tailwind with me. And by the way, I mentioned, you can get a copy of our book. It's nextlevelincome.com. Click on the book link. I go through this whole process in my book too.
Awesome.
So I talk about, I got into medical device because of the demographics. I got into multifamily because of the demographics. Where are we going now? We need affordable housing. I like mobile home parks. I like senior housing because those 10,000 baby boomers turning 65 every day are going to start turning 80 every day. And what does that mean? They're going to need care. They're going to need assisted living. They're going to want to live in independent living, for instance. Interest rates are high. Okay. What types of real estate are going to support those types of interest rates? Operational real estate. Things like mobile home parks. Things like car washes. Things like short-term rentals. You know, you can also, I would classify senior housing into those things. So, you know, once you go from, you know, kind of high to low, real estate, commercial real estate, look at the demographics. Then I like a value add strategy, as I was talking about a little bit before, something that has cash flow today that I can improve operations. I can improve revenues. If I can improve the cost of operations and bring operational costs down and I can raise revenues, what does that mean? That means my NOI increases. That means my cash flow increases. That means our investors' cash flow increases. That also means the value of the property goes up. And look, if I can't sell one of our mobile home parks, well, if it's cash flowing 10% a year to investors, are they gonna care what the interest rate is?
No.
Probably not. But what else happens typically when interest rates go up? You know, rents go up. You know, cap rates go up, but rents also go up. So if you have a strategy that you can pivot and either hold it for cash flow or refinance it or sell it when the cap rates go down and it goes up, you have a very flexible strategy when it does that. So yeah, my book's about multifamily real estate. And a lot of people a few years ago, Jim, they'd say, why on earth would you do anything but multifamily real estate? They just say, well, you know, things change over time. And I'm a big proponent of the real estate cycle. There's a real estate cycle that repeats itself about every 18 and a half years. Mm-hmm. There's a great book out there by Philip Anderson called The Secret Life of Real Estate and Banking. Mm-hmm. And he goes back through history using Fred Harrison's work into the 1800s. And you can watch it repeat. And it's basically the repeating cycle of credit expansion and contraction, which is led by land values. And if you know that and you know what types of assets perform well during different times in the real estate market, then you can do like we did in 10 years ago, start building spec homes and then transition more into cash flowing real estate and then move into areas, like I mentioned, like operational real estate that are even higher cash flow that work during high interest rates. And then, you know, if we're coming up to a period that's going to be a little slower, potentially a downturn in the future, then you know, maybe use your life insurance to build those cash stores to take advantage of opportunities. But your cash isn't sitting idle because it's earning money, right, while it's doing that. And you can pay down some debt, you know, while you're at it, so you're not being burdened by these rates. So that was a real quick overview about how I kind of see things and how I think of things. And, you know, again, I talk through a lot of that in my book as well.
No, that's awesome. I love what you said there. You know, one, I think affordable housing, there's two tsunamis. I mean, that's what somebody said one time, is affordable housing and senior housing.
Yeah.
I'm in Florida. There are more people turning 65 every year than 20. And so you go where you see the trend, right? Where the trend, it's kind of like
tide raises all ships.
Not where the puck is. Where the puck's
where it's going to be.
Where it's going to be, right? And it's not rocket science, honestly. And, you know, if you do your due diligence, it's really the people that think, oh, I can turn. I used to have a sign in my office that said, never try to teach a pig to sing. It's a waste of time and it frustrates the pig. And I had that in my office for 20 some years because I wanted to remind myself, don't try to put lipstick on a pig. Right? Don't try to make a pig sing. And I do the same thing with properties, with businesses and opportunities. It's like, hey, if it's meant to be, it'll play out. And I don't know how many times I've gone to a business owner or an owner of a real estate portfolio and said, look, I'd love to give you your price, but the numbers, they don't support your price. They support this price. And if you want to sell this for this price, then I want to buy it. But I have all the numbers to back it up. And it, you know, a lot of portfolio owners, they throw out a number and maybe you haven't done the math, but before you even comment, will you just at least look at the analysis?
Yeah.
And you know what? If they're reasonable and they're not trying to just hit a home run and take advantage of whatever they think in the market, they'll be logical. You know, people aren't stupid.
Yeah.
So Chris, you've learned all of this stuff. We're big advocates for guides, for coaches. I know you're relaunching your coaching program at the beginning of the year, which is great timing for somebody out there. But is there a way for people to get information about that? Or can you tell us a little bit about your coaching program that's coming? And then tell everybody how they can get the book. And thank you so much for that generous offer. I love people that give back. You know, and Chris, I want you to send me your address, because I'd love to send you a copy of my book that's launching next week.
Oh, awesome.
So
we'll have to have you on the podcast to talk about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. Yeah. And I tell people, Chris, in the book that I learned everything I needed to know when I was 13, because I worked in this casket factory and the guy that owned the casket factory owns this business. And I saw him pulling weeds in my neighborhood or close to my neighborhood. I thought, what the heck are you doing here? You live in Palos Verdes, which is this amazing place that I idolized. And he said, I own this and I rent it out. Now, if I was really smart, Chris, I had all the information I needed right then and there, right? I was a solid 1.2, 1.3 student in college. So, I mean, I had everything I needed right there. It just took me 20 years for it to sink in. So talk about your coaching program and how you can eliminate somebody wasting 20 years of thinking, what did he mean?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because people are like, oh, I'd love to do what you did. And it's like, well, yeah, you should, but don't waste 15 or 20 years making all the mistakes, as you know, you were just talking about as well, Jim. Yeah. And even if you make them, if you're going to make mistakes, make them fast, figure it out and go forward, or even better, learn from somebody else. So yeah, nextlevelincome.com, click on the book link, get a free copy of our book, no strings attached. You can put your address in there. We'll even send you a copy. We're going to have a link in the show notes here so you can save $1,000 off of our course that we have coming up. We're going to be launching that in the new year. I was coaching, ran out of time. We're relaunching newer, better group coaching program so you can learn how to make more money. You can learn how to keep money, tax strategies, insurance strategies like the ones you teach, Jim, liability protection. So my attorney, he said, hey, I love what you're doing. He put his whole course, gave it to me. It's inside of our course. And how to vet investments. You know, should you be an active investor? Should you be a passive investor? We have a great spreadsheet so you can take all this qualitative analysis, all this like stuff, and quantify and figure out, hey, how do I assess different ideas that are out there and figure out what is right for me? And if you click on that link that we have there for your listeners, Jim, you can save $1,000 off that package. 8 weeks, you get all that, but you don't have to wait. You can go and get the book today and get started on your journey as well.
I love it. I love it. I love that you read too, because you know what? I kind of kid around about my GPA, but I'm pretty sure that that's pretty close. But I hated school, but I love to learn and I love to read. So like I'm always reading, or when I go to the gym, I'm listening to a book. If I ride my bike, I put one thing in, or I use those open air. I can't think of what they're called, but so I can hear the traffic, because I'm not going out there where I can't hear the traffic, but, but I sometimes listen, and maybe that's bad, but I listen to a book because I love to just learn more and more and more. So Chris, with that in mind, and thank you for giving the book away. I really appreciate that. And audience, if you don't go get the book, then you're like being one of those people that I said that you're either making excuses or taking action. So take action.
Yeah.
All right. So Chris, you read a lot of books. So, and you've had a lot of success. You've broken away from the herd, which is amazing and cool. And I congratulate you on that. What's some of the best advice anybody's ever given you?
Yeah. So, you know, I used to have this paperweight on my desk, and it was Winston Churchill. It said, like, never, never quit, never give up. He gave his famous speech, and I'm not going to repeat it here. But I think, you know, that is fantastic advice. He didn't give it to me personally, but you know, that advice to, you know, as I mentioned before, fail fast, fail forward, learn, right? And don't give up. If you have the right mindset and you take massive action, as Tony Robbins says, then you're unstoppable. You can keep moving forward. And if you truly believe it, you will make it happen.
You know, I love that sometimes Nick Costco, who's a partner of mine in a few businesses, and we do a lot of work together with Create Tailwind, and he's a co-host on this show, is he said, Jim, you're kind of like a barge. You're not going like fast down the river, but you're sure not stopping, right?
Yes.
And yeah. I'm cool with that. You know, I've never been a get rich quick guy. I'm just making progress. And, absolutely. You know, and you can get off the barge if you want to, but we're not turning around. The barge is going one direction and we're going there. So, all right, Chris, you know, you've mentioned some great books. If God came down from heaven and said that you could only retain the knowledge that you received from one book that you read, what would that book be?
Well, if God came down, it would I'd definitely say the Bible, like without a doubt, but that's kind of cheating. That's kind of cheating. And I was thinking about this when you asked it. It's so hard because, you know, I think you have to think about what is going to make the biggest impact across your life. And it's not specific language. Who, not how is a great example that you mentioned. But I took one of Tony Robbins' courses. I was about 25, so about 20 years ago. I think it was Awaken the Power Within, or the Power, if that's what it was called. And the thing is, he talks about mindset. And I wrote all this stuff down. And I remember writing in there, like when I was 40 years old, like the things that it's like, don't be shy. And I wrote, I wanted a BMW M5. And I forgot about it for like 15 years. We moved into this house, 42 years old. I pull out my journal, and you know what was in there? It said, I wanted a BMW M5. You know what was in my garage that I bought for my 40th birthday for myself? BMW M5. But not only does he talk about the power of mindset, But then he says you have to take massive action. So I really, you know, Tony's read a tremendous number of books. He's assimilated a lot of information. And, you know, I think, you know, that message, the mindset plus the action, I would not want to forget that.
You say, you know what's funny? Number one, Chris, you know what kind of car I drive? BMW M5. M5. Because I'm telling you, now again, I think for the money, for the practicality, I can put four people and go to dinner. I can race anybody that want, and then they do down here, man, especially people in Mustangs, like souped up Mustangs. They want to race me every time.
Oh, yeah. And, they don't know.
And it's like, okay, I'm at like 2.7 seconds. You're at like 3.5. So I'll just go about an eighth of a mile, and I'll show you that this BMW is going to. But anyway, it's a great car.
I'm on so good.
Third one. And I lost in a hurricane. Then I bought an M5 CS, which I don't know if you know what that is.
Competition series. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it had the carbon fiber seats.
Yep.
I'm just telling you, for an old guy, man, it was
not comfy.
It was not good. I did not. It was like riding my Pinarello as stiff as off road, right? I mean, it was like.
Big heavy. Yeah. Big wheels. Yeah. And
this is not what I want. And, you know, all the luxury goes out the window. That thing is a race car. And I took a 1 month, $40,000 bath on it and just sucked it up and got another M5 2023. And I've got a friend who's selling a really cool Ferrari, but I'm not getting rid of my M5, but it's got like,
You can't. No, I think, man, I put, yeah, I got over 90,000 miles on that one I had. It was awesome. But
Costco called my car, awesome his next car. Like he says, hey, let me know. But you know, they were going to come out with a 750 horsepower one, right, in 2025.
Yeah.
And then I found out it's a hybrid. And I'm like, I don't know if I want a hybrid. I don't know. I mean, I need 750 horsepower, right?
Yeah.
I just want to eat the guys in the Tesla that think that their Plaid that goes 0 to 60 in 1.9.
Yeah.
But it's like, I've driven one. It's fast going 0 to 60 straight ahead.
Yeah.
You don't
quarter mile, it. Though? No. Nah.
Yeah. The back roads of Kentucky, I've had my M5 up there, man, and I'm sure Ashley was the same way.
Oh, yeah. It's
my car was happy. My car was like, this is what I want to do every day.
And look, Teslas are fun to drive, but if I'm on a curvy road, you know, something like you were saying, the back roads, I want to be able to downshift and use that car as I'm using, you know, with the terrain. And that's the one thing I don't like about Teslas is, you know, it's like you don't have that shifting capability. I was like, well, this is neat, but like, it's not the same. It's not the
same. It's like driving a computer. It's a really cool computer. I mean, it is. I mean, absolutely. I can drive it but for the same price, or actually the BMW is probably a little bit less, there's just no comparison.
Oh, and it's the best all around car on the road.
Yeah. I've tried the M8. I mean, I've driven all of them, man, but I always come back to the M5 because if you talk to really a BMW enthusiast, they always say the M5 is their favorite car. So
that's the original M, man. That's the original M.
Yeah. And they're not making it in 2024, but they are in 2025. And I know when I get that call from the BMW dealership, he already knows where there's an easy sale, because if it's 1,000 horsepower or 750, he knows I'm in probably. But anyway, all right. Well, talk about mindset, Chris.
Yep.
Thank you so much for being on the show. And we're going to wrap this up the way we always do with the incredible words of Earl Nightingale. Take it away, Earl. The strangest secret.
Here's the key to success and the key to failure. We become what we think about. Now let me say that again. We become what we think about.
Once again, thank you so much for taking the time to hear what was shared on today's podcast. If you are looking to discover new wealth building strategies, then go to community.createtailwind.com. That's community.createtailwind.com to join our free online community and get access to free courses and in-depth training videos designed to help you build wealth and break away from the herd. Click the link in the show notes to access the community today. Thanks again for listening.